kelches nishmas Ryan ben Asher Angel. We left off last week. We were talking about the melacha borer. We gave you the introduction to the melacha borer of separating. The melacha borer is assuming that you have a tarobus, you have a mixture of things. What constitutes a mixture of things? The Gemara always speaks about in terms of ochel and psolas. Last week we pointed out that most of the Rishonim and we passed him halacha Shulchan Aruch extend that idea of ochel and psolas, even though it's not objectively ochel and psolas, but if you have two different items that you want one and you don't want the other, that's also halachically considered to be ochel and psolas. And the way most of the Rishonim learned that's actually a dimin haTorah that could really qualify as actual borer. So it would be borer d'oraisa, not only if a person separates dirt from a pile of food, but even if one begins to separate the raisins and the peanuts, if they're really ma'ur v'yach, if they really mix together, that would pose a problem. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch put the brakes on this and said that when does this make any sense? That's only when you're dealing with shnemina, when you're dealing with two different distinct items. If you're dealing with the same kind of an item, it's just that one is a little bit bigger than the other, so that's not considered to be a taroma. So if you have 10 potatoes, some are a little bit bigger, some are a little bit smaller, and you want a bigger one, you want a smaller one, that wouldn't be a problem. But whatever's considered to be shneiminim, that would be a problem. So we mentioned at the very end of the show last week that shneiminim was a very, very tough call, because what exactly constitutes shneiminim? If you have two pieces of chicken, so the poskim say that it depends how the chicken is prepared. If you have one piece that's cooked, and one that's baked, and one that's barbecued, right? So you have different kinds of chicken. So even though they're the same physical species, but they're prepared differently, that could also constitute shnei minim. If you have different kinds of meat, so you have salami and corned beef and pastrami, so that's also potentially a shnei minim. So you have to be careful when you define what's called minech and what's called shnei minim. So there is a shaila that the Minchas Chinuch raises. It's a very fascinating shaila, both conceptually and practically, as to how exactly do we view shnei minim in terms of the following. What if you have somebody that's physically identical? There's all the physical characteristics are identical, but spiritually they're very, very different from one another. One would be good for a mitzvah, one would not be good for a mitzvah. One would be kosher, one would be treif. What would the din be? Is that considered to be min echad? And min echad, it's all the same thing. Since in the world of the physical world, it's one entity, so therefore Torah would not be violated. What do I say? No, that since in the realm of mitzvahs, there are different uses, different needs, and different characteristics of these items, that would be a potential problem of Torah. So one could raise that shout about a lot of different cases. We haven't even discussed yet Borer as it relates to Kalim. We'll see towards the end of this year, if we have some time about Borer as it plays out in terms of silverware. So Ruchas Chinuch would raise a shayla. What if you have 100 spoons, some of them are kosher, some of them are treif? Now you want to start separating one from the other. Is that even a shayla Borer? So if you look at the pile of spoons through the eyes of the physical world, so then they're all the same. So Menechet, if you look at it through the eyes of the spiritual world, so one is kosher, one is treif, so it's a different spoon. So that becomes a very, very fascinating shayla. This touches on issues that we've talked about in the Bava Kama Shurim in the morning, go above a little bit, that hezek shel nikra, I damage a person in a way that's not in the physical sense. I take your food that's tahor, and I make it tamed. So is that called the mazik? Is that not called the mazik? On the one hand, I caused you a loss. On the other hand, I didn't cause you any physical change, any physical loss. So that's a global shayla. And the answer may not necessarily be the same in each area of halacha, but in terms of the Shabbos, the chesinuch grows out of Shabbos. So believe it or not, this shayla, this suffering of the chesinuch, has probably the most common application in Mitzvah Shem in a little bit more than 2 weeks from now. When the Leil HaSeder falls out on a Friday night, like in fact it does this year, we're supposed to discuss the following very real shayla. Can a person start to do burr on the matzahs? So you open up your box of matzahs and you see if there are some broken matzahs, some whole matzahs, and you start to patch around and play around with the matzahs, is that a shayla burr? On Yom Tif, that's much less of a problem. There's a whole discussion about Borah and Yom Tif. That probably wouldn't be such a serious problem on Yom Tif itself. But in Shabbos, that could be a real, real shayla. You hear the guy's trying to be so careful on Lechem Mishnah. So he's looking at his cracked matzahs, his broken matzahs in the process. He well has borrowed their eyes. Is that true? Is that even called Borah altogether? So the question is, I didn't say it's also yet, I just said, is that even in the ballpark of being Borah? So if you understand that min echad is defined by physical min, so what's the difference when it's a whole matzah, bro? It's the same matzah, it's the same wheat, it's the same flour, it's the same matzah, it's all the same thing. So what's the difference when the whole one's broken? But if you say no, if you look at the world of virus and the world of spiritual characteristics, so one matzah that's whole, that I could use for Lechem Mishnah. The matzah is broken, I can't use for Lechem Mishnah. So then that would be a problem. Again, I didn't say how to get around that problem, but then you would at least be in the ballpark of having a potential problem. So the Chinuch doesn't talk about that case, but Shlomo Zalman talks about that case. Then we come up with a fascinating distinction and say that maybe the answer is it depends. It depends when you're quote-unquote separating the matzahs. if you're separating the matzahs before the Seder and you're doing it, you know, it's really, really important to you. This is a whole matzah, this is a broken matzah, lechem oinim, this is a shleima, this is really, really significant. So at that moment in time, it takes on the characteristics of Bayra. Let's say tomorrow in the morning or tomorrow afternoon, you're munching on a piece of matzah, something, and it's just cute to have a whole matzah, it's cute to have a half matzah. I want to make a sandwich that's easier with a half matzah, something like that. So then maybe that wouldn't be Bayra. I mean, just because something is Bayra for halachic reasons, it may only be true when it's halachically significant. If it's not too halachically significant, maybe it's not Bayra. So it's a very, very strange thing. You can have the same chepta that a few hours ago was an Issa or Issa Bayra, and now it's at the Gomer. So it's a whole question. What should the din be? So this Shaila that begins in the details, the nitty-gritty of the Chuzbayra may actually have its throwback to some of the things that we spoke about in one of the previous malachas, two malachas ago. And that was a malach of disha, gosh, of threshing. So let's go back to something that we spoke about in the past and begin to understand a little bit better, and then maybe we can shed a little bit light on the parameters concerning these halachic kinds of Chuzbayra. If you remember back when we spoke about the malach of disha, so we spoke about anytime you extract one item from another, that poses a problem of the malach of disha. Original malach of threshing was, you were in your step, you're pressing down, you're applying pressure to the grain, and now the back part of the grain is separating, the outside is separating, now you have what you want. So that's the real, that's the actual model of the malach of disha. But then the Gemara says that there are other ways to bother disha as well. They take through schitas peiros, and the person squeezes out a fruit. Depends what kind of fruit it is, if it's normal to squeeze. That don't squeeze it. We spoke a lot about this in the past. So let's say the worst case scenario, a person squeezes a bunch of grapes. You can't get more disha than that. So that's chita, that's gefarik, whatever you want to call it. That's ultimately a tolda of dosh. So the Gemara says that's a big problem. Sochet, eshkol shonov, and that's a disaster. The Medrash says that when the Gemara created other Marishav, so he told him not to eat for the Eitz Hadas. So the plan was not that he shouldn't eat for the Eitz Hadas forever and ever and ever. And according to that opinion, the Gemara said heaven that the Eitz Hadas was a gefen, was a vine. So the original plan, all it was, that the Gemara wanted the Marishav to hold back for a few hours. He wanted him to wait, not to eat from the grapes on Erev Shabbos. He should wait a little bit of patience. He should wait until open right before Shabbos. Right before Shabbos, he should squeeze out the grapes, turn to a cup of wine, he should say Vayechulu, he should make Kiddush, and that was the original plan for creation. And the world would have reached its end, and that would have been no one around to reach the end. But that was the original plan of the Baruch Hu. But that didn't exactly happen. And Marishan ate the grapes first. He didn't wait to make Kiddush, and that's what we're still suffering out of Yevazet. When the Medrash says that the original plan was he was supposed to squeeze out the grapes, for some of that means before Shabbos started, you have to squeeze out. He should do it first. The grandiose point of creation was Chol Shabbos, was to violate the Malach of Disha. Probably not. Probably the squeeze was supposed to take place before Shabbos. So to squeeze out grapes on Shabbos, that's a no. That's a disaster. But nevertheless, the Gemara quotes one opinion that we probably paskin like Mikra did, is that you're allowed to be socha b'socha kedeira. Let's say a person wants to squeeze out a grape into a dish of food. So he has some food on the table, he has a salad, he has some other kind of dish that he wants to add some grape juice to. So he wants to squeeze the grape directly onto the food. So he must say that's at the gomer. Why? Because that's not called extracting a liquid from a salad. The malach of disha is to pull out the liquid from the salad. That's not called malach of disha. Why is that? Because mashka b'osachaychal ka'ichal dami. That the liquid that comes out of the solid is, and if it's going directly into a solid food, it never takes on the status of a liquid. It's a nikra al shem sofo. It's considered to be a solid because it's about to enhance the solid food. And therefore, that's just like cutting a grape in half. You're allowed to cut a grape in half, you're allowed to cut an olive in half, you're allowed to cut a fruit in half. So as long as halachically that liquid is not really liquid, it's considered to be eichel, that's okay. That's what the Pharisee Gemara, mash kebosach eichel ke'eichel dami. So there was a machlekes 2 days in Tosfos between Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Yosef as to, are there any limitations to that statement? So Rabbeinu Tam said that b'med d'var mamurim, that you're allowed to do that. That's only true if the grape itself is edible. Let's say the grape is very sour, and you wouldn't eat this grape anyway. So Rabbeinu Tam said, wait a second, not so simple. Then you're not permitted to squeeze out the grape juice, even if you're squeezing it directly onto the food. What's the problem? So Rabbeinu Tam explains, there are two halachas of squeezing out fruits. There are two potential problems of squeezing out fruit. There's problem number one of disha. That's the problem. Whenever you extract the liquid from the salad, that's a potential problem of disha. So that problem can be overcome as long as you're going directly onto the salad food. But there's a second problem, says Rabbeinu Tam. if the grape that you're squeezing from is not edible, so then you're in violation of Borah. That's a whole other problem. It's a whole different malacha. It's a malacha. So squeezing grape juice from an edible grape is not Borah. This is Zoichel and that's Zoichel. It's all the same thing. But squeezing grape juice from an inedible grape, so that's a real problem of Borah. And the malacha of Borah, the heter of Borah, is not going to help you, since you're made of. So you could squeeze the grape from table tomorrow onto a food. It's going to shkafa. It's not going to help you. That'll solve a disha problem. It's not going to solve a bayer problem. That was Rabbi Tam's famous chiddush, that even though the Gemara says you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to squeeze a grape onto food, Rabbi Tam says, no, the buck stops here. That's only if the grape is edible. If the grape's not edible, that's a problem. And Rabbi Yosef says, lo, you've never heard such a thing. No such a law. So let's work within the world of Rabbi Tam for a second. Rabbi Tam goes one step further. Rabbi Tam says that this idea that you're not allowed to separate ochel, mitzolah, mitzolah, whatever it is, the issur of borer, now will play out in another issur that we spoke about in the past. We spoke about milking cows. And remember, we spoke about milking cows, milking animals. So the Gemara had the same story. The Gemara says that all of the cases of hakidera, that you're allowed to squeeze milk from a goat directly into the food. That's fine. Why? For the same reason that I'm not extracting a liquid from a solid. I'm simply extracting a solid from a solid. Since the milk was going directly into the pot of food, that would be okay. So comes Tosis, comes from Beit Tam, the following Chiddush. But Medivam Amur, if you're allowed to do that, that's on Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, that's a problem. Why? What's the difference? Beit Tam says very simple. On Yom Tov, an animal is called the Dovah Shel Ochel. It's not a psoleth. You can shecht an animal on Yom Tov. So an animal on Yom Tov is edible, is usable. An animal on Shabbos is garbage, it's psoleth. You're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. So an animal on Shabbos is considered to be a Dovah Shel psoleth. So it comes with Benetam with the following equation. He says, an animal on Shabbos is like squalled grapes. That's the equation. Just as squalled grapes, you're not allowed to squeeze juice out because that's a violation of Borer. So too, you're not allowed to squeeze milk. You're not allowed to get milk out of an animal on Shabbos, even into food. That's a problem because an animal on Shabbos is off-limits. It's inedible. On Yom Tov, it's edible. It's Ochel. But on Shabbos, it's not. So the Ramban disagrees with that Benetam. The Ramban says that maybe the squalled grapes, he's right. Maybe and maybe no. But the animal, he's not right. Why? Says the Ramban, there's nothing wrong with an animal on Shabbos. It's a perfectly healthy, good-looking animal. You're going to shecht it Sunday morning. Right now, you can't shecht it. Says the Ramban, that's halacha concern. That's not a physical concern. So since when does halacha impact on halacha? That's what the Ramban said. And since when does the Shabbos depend upon what the halacha is? The Shabbos depends on what the Metzias is. So if in the world, the world view, an animal is perfectly healthy and good and yummy and delicious, it's just right now on Shabbos, you can't shecht it for halachic reasons. That does not declare a shame psoilus or something. So that machlokes from the Tam and the Ramban within the issue of squeezing milk, getting milk on Shabbos versus Yom Tov, that's the shaila whether you can slip that, whether you can separate your matzahs or not. So according to Rabbi Tam, who says that hichas bor and hichas psoilus depends on halachic world also, so then you have a potential issue of sifting out your matzahs and sorting out your matzahs on Pesach. If you hold it to Ramban, that it's a davar shel heter, it's a davar shel oichel, isur hu d'revila, it's just as a technical isur on it, but that doesn't impact on its status of oichel psoilus, so then the whole shaila would be a b'shaila. So you want me to be machriya between a Ramban or a Beit Tam about squeezing out milk from a goat onto food on Yom Tov on Shabbos, and you want to know whether you can separate your matzah or not? I don't know, I'm a little nervous, comes to Lel HaSeidah. And the last thing you want to do is violate Borah to try to get your matzahs together.
That's
what we're going to say. So we're going to come up with ways to separate your matzahs and the way to put them anyway.
No, but even with the goat, meaning
who says you're eating the food right away? So you're mechavim to the Magen Avraham. So the Magen Avraham says that even if the Rishonim are right, that there's a problem with Borah here, good, so that'll be Borah, but you can eat the food right away. So it must be the Rishonim talking about, you're not necessarily going to eat the food right away. You're putting it into the food, and you can serve it in an hour from now. What?
You're in the barn still, you're not eating.
You're not the bar. I know where you are. So Ram says that even on Latzav, worst case theory, it's also we'll sleep in Mutter because of that's a shot. Later, Chorin Tupu with that Mugger Ram. Good, excellent. So again, so we're going to come up with hopefully a better solution for the matzah saga. But just to familiarize ourselves, so if somebody goes to sort the matzahs on next in 2 weeks from now, Friday night, so you say, wait a second, not so simple. It depends on milking goats into food or drugs.
In the sour grape case, isn't it all coming top of sauce from the border aspect?
Yeah, but the problem with that's what he's raised, that's what Ochel is raising, but Ochel top sauce is not always mutter, because depending on whether it's going to be for immediate use or not. If it's for later use, then even that's going to be a problem.
Also with the case of the matzahs, the broken matzahs never going to be good. It's different than the cow.
The cow's going to become mutter tomorrow.
Yeah, the broken matzahs is never safe to be used.
Right, it's not going to be useful, but the broken matzahs also has another element to it, because you can use it for something else today. it's almost better and worse than the cow. It's not exactly the same as the cow with the goat, right? Okay. There is another important shadow that the post can discuss with very, very real ramifications in terms of how we do define what's considered to be a tarobes. So there is a comment of the Taz that don't tell your mothers that we're going to discuss about the Shaila, but we're going to discuss about the following Shaila. The Taz raised the following question. Let's say a person is sitting down at the table on Friday night and he's eating a soup, and he looks down at the bowl of soup, and he discovers something inside the soup that's not supposed to be there. We read actually a lot about that in yesterday's parsha. If a person would eat that item that's floating around the soup, so he could be over many, many different Yisurim. So eating a bug, if you really, really want to get your bang for your buck in terms of Yisurim, eat a bug. That's the way to do it. The Gemara says you can get 4 malchus, 5 malchus, 6 malchus. You really, really, if you have any really great desire to violate Yisurim, that's the way to go. So you're not allowed to eat a fly, not allowed to eat a bug, not allowed to eat an ant, whatever bug is inside your soup. So clearly you're not allowed to eat. However, you are allowed to eat the rest of the soup because, going back to your idea for a minute, even though a bug is clearly treif, and even though it's a hot soup, but we assume that the taste that is emanating from the bug is what's called the nosei tam of gam. We spoke a little bit about that in some of the shiurim, in the bracha shiurim recently. So anything that gives off a bad taste doesn't really pose a problem in terms of what was kashrus. So basically the idea is you can take out the bug and then eat the remaining of the soup. That's the famous Gemara Maseches Megillah. Even Haman knew that din. So he knew that then. He came to Achashverosh and he said, the Jews, they're crazy. Their laws are so crazy and they're so against the king. So he said, imagine if a bug would fall into their wine, so they would just take the bug out, they would drink the rest of the wine. But if you Achashverosh touch the wine, they'll spill down the sink. They won't touch it because it became treif, because it was touched by a goy. So the Gemara says that Haman was a real good Baal Lashon Hara. But the Gemara says he was right, 100% right, what he said. Good Gishmach Lashon Hara is very often true, but he's still not allowed to say it. So Haman got it right on target. So the din is that even if the soup is hot, you're allowed to just take it out and eat the rest of the soup. There is a din in your day that, let's say, I'm eating a dish of food and I find a bug. So just because I find a bug doesn't mean I have to assume that there are other bugs in it again. If it's a kind of food that's not Muksuf B'Taloyim, if it's a kind of a food that has a Chazok, but that it has Taloyim, that it has bugs in it, so Muksuf B'Taloyim and Halacha means different things in different numbers. So we pass in Halacha that if there's a 10% chance that there may be a bug here, then you're not allowed to eat that food without checking it. So that's the background for the entire vegetable checking industry that exists, the multi-million-dollar Bodeg B'Chulei industry, is working with the assumption that any of these kinds of salads and leaves and broccoli and all kind of stuff may potentially have more than the 10% chance of having bugs in them. And some people tell you that there's a way, way more chance than 10%. So then you're not allowed to eat that food until you check it to make sure that it's clear of bugs. And let's say you have a food that's not muksuf b'taloyim. I have no reason to believe that there are any bugs in this. So when I cooked up the food, all of a sudden I find a bug. Okay, so it has a bug. So you remove the bug and you eat the food. You're not muksuf to assume that there are other bugs in there. Then I start to eat and I notice there's a second bug in there. Getting a little nervous, a little suspicious. But okay, still two and only two. But then I continue eating and I find a third bug in there. Oh yeah, yeah, I found 3 bugs in the same pot of soup. So that's already what's called. Then the whole soup was muksuf b'taloyim. Then I have to be nervous that there may be bugs throughout the food. And now the Shulchan Aruch writes, quotes from Chivas Rashi, you're not allowed to eat that food until you actually check it. Then you got to go sit and strain and look carefully to make sure there are no more bugs. At that point, you most probably don't want to eat the food anyway. But if you did, that would be a problem. So now the guy's sitting on his table Friday night that he's looks down. And he knows the bug in the soup. So the question is, what's his reaction? So in terms of Bukhus Kashrus, his proper reaction would be to throw the whole thing out. But in terms of Bukhus Kashrus, he's not supposed to do that. If it was a Tuesday night, he would simply take the bug out. I remember once when I was learning in the Kamri Amnes, I remember the Mashkiach walked into the dining room one day, and he made an announcement in the middle of lunch. He said, Hamarak Bisari, the soup is fleishiks. And it was a milk meal. And he didn't mean fleshiks. He meant to say that there were dvarim shel basar floating around and they shouldn't be there. So that was a nice way. That was a very, very nice way of saying that please discard the soup. It was more than muksuf b'taloyim. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So what would you do on Shabbos? So your initial reaction would be just scoop out the cake out the fly and continue eating. Wait a second, that's so simple. Isn't that a problem? Boyer. It's an outright violation of boyer. That could be almost the worst kind of boyer. It's a boyer solus b'tochoichel. We haven't even discussed the details of when bur is mutter or not mutter, but this is a big problem. Here I have an ochel, a good tasting soup, and I have a not such nice looking bug. So it's ochel and psalos all mixed together. That would be a potential problem with bur. So there's actually one opinion in Acharon, is Mari Tatz. So the opinion is, it's not bur at all. It's a het to gom, you can just take out the fly and you have nothing to worry about. Why is that not a problem, Boira? Maritat says when something is floating on top of something else, that's not called an Urav Yachad, it's not a Taroides. It's so Nikolai, and it's so obvious, it's so clear that this is like having, you wouldn't say Boira, let's say I got different kinds of donuts. So here we got donuts with these sprinkles on, so those sprinkles. So I wouldn't say this Boira. Why? Because the donut is 10 feet away from the other donut. So what does that do with each other? That's not called Boira. The Boira is when things are mamish from Urav Yachad, so the Maritat says when things are floating, solids floating on liquid, that's not called Urav Yachad altogether. But many of the other Echarim don't say that. The simple reading of the Taz is not that way. But that in and of itself is not a heter. So what should you do, says the Taz? So you should do is as follows. You should take your spoon, and instead of taking the fly out directly, only the fly, you should take a little bit of soup that surrounds the fly. And by doing so, that's okay. That's heter gomer. You take a little bit, as long as you take a little bit of soup together with the fly, that's perfectly all right. And the question is, why is that okay? What kind of heter is that? What's that based on? So there appears to be a big machlokes in the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish as to how to understand why the Taz said what he said. So the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah, not everyone agrees with this, but the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah is that the Taz is telling us really a major yesod in Uchaz Berurah, that Berurah is the separation of the bad from the good from the bad, but that's only true when the line of demarcation is between the good and the bad. But if you move over the line half an inch, and now instead of taking bad from good, you took a little bit of good and bad from good, that's not called Boreh. So then the Boreh is Nikra al Shein, wherever you drew the line of Boreh. So if you drew the line in the sand 6 inches away from the point of Psoles, then I wasn't Boreh Psoles of Eichel, I was took a little bit of Eichel from Eichel and Psoles. That's okay.
Why is the good not Psoles also in that case? And when you take the soup out, you're taking it out because you're considering that Psoles too. You're not taking the good, you're not.
I don't have the whole soup.
But you're not. When you're taking the fly out with the soup, the little remnant of soup, you're not going to eat that part of the soup. You want that to be Psoles also.
No, but you could have, if it was Tuesday, you wouldn't have taken out all that extra soup. If it was Tuesday, you would have just taken out the fly. Maybe a half a millimeter, you know, away. You want to make sure there's no legs of the fly floating around. So you want to take a little bit away, but you wouldn't move it over 6 inches. So all that extra soup that you're taking out, that's ochel from ochel. And that's not considered to be a violation of Berurah. If that would be true, and then this would not only be true in cases of flies and soup, this would be true in any case of Berurah. All kind of things floating around, or not floating around, but mixed together and everything, all that would be okay. And the Chazon Ish said, that's not what the Taz meant. They said, there is no such rule in this Berurah that if you just move the line over half an inch, that's okay. But the Taz meant is as follows, and this part, please don't repeat to your numbers, okay? You're just hanging there, okay? The Chazon Ish says the Taz means is as follows, that fundamentally the Ma'ariv Taz is really right, that when you have something that's floating and in something else, you can't really call that Ma'ur Yachad. It's so clear, demarcated. However, there are parts of the liquid that are Ma'ur of with the fly. So when you have a fly in the middle of it, if I would have brought in the demonstration. If you have a fly sitting in the liquid, and the liquid that's 6 inches away, there's no Shaykhah, it's not connected to Chol, it's not Ma'ur Yachad. It's so clear, Nikolayim, that it's not connected. But the little drops of liquid that are in between the little parts of the fly, so you got a little bit of in between the tummy legs, between the legs, between the wings, all around, between the toes. That liquid is kind of hard to discern where that liquid's starting, where the fly's ending. So that's considered to be Ma'ur Yachad. So all the Taz meant is that you have to move the line a little bit, that you're not being buried that liquid. You're not being buried that liquid. When you're being buried 6 feet away, that's the buried not in the middle of the Tarova, so that's not a problem, that's okay. So the only reason why the Taz insisted on moving the line down is to make sure that the part that's really Ma'urav, you're not doing Ba'urav. My nafkamina, according to this Chazon Ish's Biur, there is no such klal that if you move the line, it's okay. So let's say it's not a floating item. What if it's solids? What if you have a lot of peanuts, a lot of raisins, and I want to get rid of all the peanuts? So what I'll do is, I'll take some of the raisins also. So I'll move the line over a little bit. The Chazon Ish said, that's ridiculous. That doesn't really think. There's no such klal. If at the end of the day you're separating bad from good, just because you threw in a couple of good things into your bad things, that doesn't change anything. That's still Nikva. That's still called Beira. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't sound that way. The Mishnah Berurah, according to his version, it sounds like that would happen to be Mutter. So that's a big, big question when the Mishnah Berurah said that. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We'll talk about peeling. So we didn't even talk about peeling yet, but we get to peeling. So we'll talk about when you peel certain vegetables. So one of the possible stodim to permit certain kinds of peelings if just move the peel over a little. Instead of peeling the peel off, just take a sliver of the cucumber with the peel. So if you take a little bit of the good together with the bad, according to some, that would be okay. So the Chazon Ish would say, never heard of such a thing. There's no such cool, no such entity called moving over the line. But according to the simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah, that would be okay. So we'll put that on hold a little bit till we get back to peeling.
Isn't liquid different because it's all mixed? It's like all connected.
as opposed to like the peanuts.
Right. So does that make it better or worse? I'm not sure. It's like Yad Raman. It says that in a different context than Hedrim, that you can't separate liquid. You can't look at liquid as being separate entities. It's one thing. All the liquid is all mechubei yachad. But the question is that going to make things matters better or worse? I'm not sure. So that is the very, very famous Shal Borer. Perhaps one of the most common Shals of Borer is, up until now, we've been focusing on Borer in the context of foods, good foods and bad foods, and the feature foods. Does Borer make sense when you're not even dealing with food items in the first place? Let's say you're dealing with kalim, you're dealing with utensils, you're dealing with silverware, you're dealing with laundry, you're dealing with all kind of, you're dealing with blocks on the floor, toys, etc. Big balagan, big mixtures, and big taroses of stuff. But it's not oichlin altogether. It's kalim. Is there even a problem whatsoever of Borer under these circumstances? So the Taz, again, has another interesting comment in Uchus Borer. The Taz assumes that yes. The simple reading of the Taz is that yes, there's a diet for Nash in this way, that Borer is not limited to food per se. You know, we've seen that there are certain malachas that are dafka food, certain malachas not dafka food, certain malachas that can do a character, certain malachas that. Borer, we don't find any distinction, says the Taz, and therefore we can assume that Borer applies across the board. So it would be the same problem with Borer if you have the peanuts and raisins, or if you have a lot of toys on the floor. So none of the toys are bad, but I don't want that toy. I want this toy. So I don't want the other toy. So that would be a potential problem with Borer. So it's also it would be a potential problem with Borer. So based on that, the Taz throws, so the Yerucha Shulchan raises a big, big problem. The Yerucha Shulchan says, my simchol yoy. He says, well, everyone does this. He says, who doesn't separate somewhere? Who doesn't do this? Everyone does these things. Nice. Every Shabbos, people do these kinds of things. How can there be Borer on these kinds of things? What's going on? So the Yerucha Shulchan suggests two possibilities. The Yerucha Shulchan suggests that maybe the reason why everyone does these kinds of things is it depends on the size of the item. Since we've already mentioned so many times that the absolute rule behind Borer is it has to be Me'urv Yachad. Me'urv Yachad means it has to be that's almost not recognizable. It's a big mess. It's a big balagan. That's the thing to be Borer. But if it's so Nikola Ayin, that's not a problem. We said before, you got one donut here, one donut here, one donut over there. That's not a problem. Well, if the donuts get a little bit closer to one another, again, so it depends how close they are. So if it's a big pile and I can't even tell what's what, that's Borer. But if it's so obvious what's what, then that's not Borer. So the Chashukhan says, Mestom HaKelim are always obvious. One, the big, you're talking about a big knife, you're talking about a big fork, a big spoon, you're talking about the guy's got a pile of clothing, so the undershirt is clear, the socks are clear, it's obvious what's what. It's not like something we have to start taking off your glasses and start looking and seeing, is this Me'urav, is it not Me'urav? So Mestom, that's the Pshat, says the Chashukhan. That's what people are probably relying on. That's one side. Then he says, another answer says the Chashukhan, that the reason why Borer doesn't apply is not that it doesn't apply, it does apply. It's just that all the rules that permit Borer will probably be in place here as well. So we've been talking about Borer for 2 weeks and we haven't even talked about what those rules are, because this has all just been one more introduction to Borer. Once, hopefully, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more. We're not done for the shit. We're getting ready, winding down, that we're going to talk about what kind of things can happen that would be matir borer. So the Gemara in Shabbos Tefayin Dalet basically develops the following yisod, that even if you have a situation that's subject to borer, it is a full bona fide tarobes, but if you meet three conditions, then everything becomes a matir. What are the three conditions? If you take the good from the bad, oichem utak psalas. If you do it via daim, you do it biyad with your hands rather than with the utensil. If you do it miyad for immediate use, if all three of those conditions are met, then all of a sudden it becomes etter gomer. This is straight talking. Where did that come from? How can a malacha just all of a sudden become mutter? So we have to talk a lot about that. That's called derech achila, not called derech malacha. There's a lot of Torahs, and each one of those conditions, that's going to take up the bulk of the next couple of years in terms of bar. But the basic rule is that those three conditions are met, then it becomes mutter.
Is there no concept of ochum to ochel? I mean, you're even with raisins and nuts, you're eating the whole thing. You're just right now, you're eating the whole thing.
You just said it. You said the bad words right now. That's what
no, like even it's in the same act. You're eating this whole plate of food.
But at that 1 second that you're looking at this thing and you say, I want a raisin.
So I'm eating a bowl of soup and I'm taking a thing, so right now I want to just... this.
Oh, you mean you want... Oh, okay, great.
The whole thing. What
you're saying is a bowl of yodo. It means I'm not even thinking about anything. I'm just putting my hands in there, and sometimes some things are coming up, some things are coming up. That's not called butter. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But either in a minute or for a week, we're going to talk about that.
And even in soup, if I go for the carrot, so that's...
So right, but you want the carrot. So I didn't say it's us. Awesome. You may be doing it beyond the Ovadovon. You may be doing it there. Even though you're using a spoon, that may be called an extension of your hands. We have to fine-tune all those three conditions. So that's what the Yochai Shulchan says.
That you want it separated, that you want both. I want the fork on the left, I want the knife on the right.
So that's a problem. That may be a problem.
But that's, I want both.
It's okay, so that's that may also be better. Just the mere fact that I'm separating things, even though I do want both, that may also be better. It's also a shayla. So get back to that story. So Yochai Shulchan says he thinks that whenever you're doing better with Kalim, that's 99% of the time. It's always going to be miyad, miyad, it's always going to meet the conditions that I want. Why? What's the case? Give me a case. A person has got a big pile of silverware. They want to set the table, and they want to take out the forks. Well, good. They stick the hand in, and they pull out a fork. Wonderful. So they take out a fork. It's ochel b'tok tzolos. That's what they were looking for. It's biyad. They did it with their hands, and they're doing it for right away. So says the Chashulchan, that's always going to be like that. So let's say there's a big pile of svarim, and I want to pull out a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, and a Ritva, and a Vital, and a Mishnah Berurah, 15 Svarim all over the place. I want the Gemara right now. So I'm taking the Gemara, going, Oichel, Tech Psalas, Biyad, Miyad, and everything's good. Shalom Yisrael, everything is good. Says the Yochai Shulchan, if that's the case, if that's the reason why it's Mutter, then you just have to be careful that all those conditions are met. So what if it's not for immediate use? What if you're setting the table for an hour from now? Not really called immediate use, that's not simple anymore. What if I'm separating the svarim for later? I'm not separating the svarim for now. I want to put all the svarim away. I got a big pile of 40 svarim all over the table. And now I want to start separating them on Shabbos. And I want to put each one back in its own place. Now, for later, that's already not so simple. That's already more complicated. If you go down the first route of the Yochai Shulchan, that big things are always nikel ayin, and you don't have to worry about anything, everything's gebaldik. But if you go down the second route of the Yochai Shulchan, that big things are not so sure what big is, what small. It's not an ironclad the rule that everything that's a kalim is automatically okay. It's case by case. So then you would have to try to meet these conditions. So let's say you want to sort out laundry, you want to sort out socks. So it depends. So if you want to pull out a sock, a pair of socks, this is what you want to wear now, that's one thing. But if you're just putting the socks away for later, so that would pose a problem. So then you have to take it case by case. So one of the biggest applications of this is the washing of silverware. Let's say a person is washing silverware Friday night. So they want to pull out all the forks. They want to pull out a fork, put the fork within a drawer. Wait a second, that's so simple. That's a tarovis. Again, unless you go down the first rule of the Yochai Shulchan, that's a tarovis. And you're not necessarily meeting the conditions of miyad. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in Shmei Shabbos as saying there's another way to do that. Namely, what's called minabol yado. Let's say I'm not planning to take the forks. I'm washing the dishes. I'm trying to dry the silverware. And my either literally my eyes are closed or figuratively my eyes are closed. Whatever comes my way. And if I pick up a spoon by mistake, I'm not going to, you know, start crying and throw a whole fit or whatever comes. Good. So I'll a fork right over here. A spoon, I'm going to find it. I just stick with a bowl of yado. So if my plan is I'm a very meticulous, you know, person, I have to dry all the forks first. And I got to get all the forks into place first. And, you know, I got to be exactly like that. So that would be a potential problem of burr, depending on these different answers of the Yochai Shulchan. But if it's just simply the Aboli Yadda, so the Aboli Yadda is not a problem. So the good news for most of us here is that most of us are probably in Aboli Yadda kind of guys. You know, maybe some other people in our houses are more meticulous in how they try things. But for us, even those who are drying silverware are probably doing a little bit more than Aboli Yadda.
Cleaning a basement?
Putting
toys away.
Yeah, so that, but yeah, toys is maybe a little more problematic. Toys, unless you want to say I'm also going to bully a bit of toys. If my goal is I'm going to claim and get all the blocks here, right? So I'm going after all the blocks at one time, that's a problem. Again, unless you go down the route that everything is so big and it's not a problem. So yeah, those who've been cleaning basements and drying dishes and don't feel too bad. According to the first day, they're a chashuchi nachayev skila. For the second day, maybe you're okay. Yes. Okay, so for Mitzvah next week, we'll try to fine-tune a little bit. Now that we've identified what is potentially a Tarovus, how to get around this Tarovus, so for Mitzvah next week.
Wait, so if you're trying to make categories, it's different.